Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
WMVP Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Been another busy day. Great callers, too, today, and we're guest-free the rest of the way. 312-332-3776, whatever's on your mind. Going to share with you this stat and tell you how this has happened before to the Bears when they finally came to the realization. Also, if you want to weigh in on the draft last night, Patrick Williams is the pick. Surprised a lot of people. And I told you yesterday before the draft as we left that this is the benefit of the doubt draft for me, that they changed management. They've earned the benefit of the doubt with the moves, the early moves they've made with both Jim Boylan and Billy Donovan and Mark Eversley and building out the player development and scouting staff, that I'm going to say, okay, like Patrick Williams, I'm cool with, I'm good with, I could see what you see in it. I mean, there were a lot of people didn't like the 9 points per game, a lot of people didn't like that he did not start. But if you go deeper and you read some of the scouting reports, and I'm not guaranteeing he's going to turn out, but for now, I am giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Me too.
I bellyached too long about Gar Pax to now, like a month later, start bitching about, you know, Karnishevis and Eversley. Show me, guys.
Yeah.
I'm moving out of the way.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic.
So did you see the Dan Weiderer stat?
I did not.
So you got to dive in a little bit to it, because at first you're like, well, what does that mean? The Bears are 19-4 in the Matt Nagy era in games in which the offense scores a touchdown before halftime. 19-4. Okay? So it makes it sound like they're great in this regard when you before you consider how many games they've played.
42 in his era, right? 42 games in Matt's time?
Exactly. And what this stat basically shows you is what we know, that if this defense gets any sort of support early, and by early, we're talking about the first half of the game, the first 30 minutes of the game, that if you just do what any basic football team should be able to do, and that is score a touchdown in a half of football, you are going to win a ton of games.
Because you let that defense kind of crank it up a little bit.
All of it. That like this other, like, it's like what you've said, Waddle. If you're just average, we're not asking for 20 first half points.
No.
We're not asking for 17 first half points.
Nope.
We're asking for an offensive scored touchdown in the first half, because then you're going to win. What percentage of that is? What is that? That's like 85%? What is that?
What are the numbers
19
again?
19-4. What
19
is that
and four.
Percentage?
You're virtually, you know, 4 out of 5, so 80%, right? Close to 80%. Ballpark.
You're going to win all these games. But what this shows you is he's played in so many more games, and they have failed to score touchdowns in the first half. And they have abused that side of the football. And whatever they did accomplish, they have ruined. And that should be focused. It's like Greeny's been talking about, that this championship-level defense, when it will all be said and done, has zero playoff wins to show for it.
You wasted them.
You wasted them. You completely wasted everything.
Do you know where, I've been clamoring for 2 years for average, which is 16th. 16th in the league in scoring is 25 points per game. It's the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
That's 25 points per game.
It can't even be the Lions.
16th in the league in yards per game is 365. That's the 49ers, who have been absolutely decimated by injury.
Yeah. Remember, so anybody who says, well, the Bears have been hurt, look at the Niners. They're what, 14th offensively?
No, they're 16. That's middle of the pack.
16. Yeah. 16.
Middle of the pack.
And here's the other thing. Like, a lot of people say, well, they'll never get rid of Ted. Look, it took extreme circumstances, but they did move Michael off to the side. Michael had made things so bad, Michael McCaskey, in 1998-99, when the mayor of Chicago wouldn't talk to him to get a stadium built, and he botched the hiring of Dave McGinnis, where they had him hired, and Dave then turned down the job, and he was left without a coach. They were so embarrassed that Virginia, his own mom, said, you got to move off to the side now.
Yeah, nobody's suggesting you banish Ted to somewhere, you know, like, if you want to keep him inside the building and have him deal strictly with business issues the way that Crane Kenny handles the same role for the Cubs, like, why would I have a beef with that? I don't.
That's just what you have to do. You have to say, look, you're not fired, but you can't stay here. You have to move off to the side.
I just don't know why they would want to.
You're out of decision making.
Why? I don't know why they would want to continue to do the same things the same way when the results just haven't been there. Like, if you told me again that it works, or that it works a decent amount of times, but it hasn't.
No.
Like, there's no evidence that shows you that this way of doing business over the course of a long stretch of time has been fruitful, other than the value of the franchise going up, appreciating, you know, exponentially. But that happens win, lose, or draw.
And that's what I'm hoping, that superfan George, who loves his Blackhawks and Cubs, talks to Rocky and he talks to Tom, and he finds out that what real change looks like. That it's no longer repairing with spackle. It is real change. Raul is in Logan Square. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Raul?
What's going on, guys? I'm not going to state the obvious. You guys hit it on point, the way the organization is ran. You made me realize even an example of how Ted Phillips was ruining the organization. I don't know if he was involved with the leasing of Soldier Field and through all the stadium changes, you know, that trickles down to them making draft decisions. Imagine if they didn't have that seating license and they would have drafted Mahomes. They could have built a 120,000-seat stadium, and they would have filled it up anywhere here in Chicago, Arlington Heights, Midway, and they would have made so much money. But how they're running their organization, man, the old lady needs to either sell the team and just keep the initials on the jersey just for her pride. But she got to get rid of the team, because we ain't going nowhere till they get them old ways out and get a new family like the Ricketts.
And that's why we're trying to come up with a real change. We could yell till we're blue in the face whether you think they should sell. I don't think it should have to come to that.
I don't either.
I think George wants to win enough where if he surrounded himself, it's not going to do us any good when that's not a realistic solution. So, Harding's in Charlotte. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harding?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was actually thinking to myself a little bit. All the times I've called in, I've never played wife or radio partner, so we got to fix that. But
yeah,
here nor there, your statistic, right? Like, that means there was 19 games where the Bears did not score a first-half touchdown. That's disgusting. There is a scenario where Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy find success, and I'll tell you what that hinges on. It hinges on Jordan Love. If Jordan Love can somehow show that he has this tremendous amount of skill during offseason, that the front office of the Packers piss off Aaron Rodgers enough, maybe he goes the Brett Favre route and goes to a division rival, and we get two of the final seasons of Aaron Rodgers' Hall of Fame career with the Bears and their defense. That's the only way that this team can salvage anything under the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy regime. Outside of that,
what about Andrew Luck? Like, my other fantasy is that Andrew Luck wants to be reunited, and he doesn't want to go back to Indy, and he wants to be the Bears quarterback.
But my question is then, don't the Colts have the rights to his contract?
Yes.
If he retired, the contract's still there, so you would have, like, 4 years still. So, like, that's not happening. But Aaron Rodgers could be pissed. He's that type of person where he'll tell Matt Nagy to shut up if he makes a bad play.
Like, how are the Bears getting him? Harding, I'm in for that, but how are they getting him?
They would have to figure something out where he demands a trade. Like, he has to go that route of diva superstar, and he was pissed off enough for the Jordan Love coddling and love that the Packers front office present that he feels disrespected. So, like, you have to hope that Jordan Love is that good where the front office turns their back on Aaron Rodgers. That's the only way Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have success in this regime. Other than that, fire everybody.
First of all, I don't think they have the draft currency. I mean, wherever you're going to pick. And again,
the Packers, remember, the reason why they traded him to the Jets is Minnesota wanted him, and they didn't want to do business
with the division rival.
Yeah. Now, he eventually got to Minnesota, but he spent, what, 2 years with the Jets?
I think so.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't have 2 years after that.
Since we're talking about pipe dreams.
Yeah,
to
pipe
like,
dreams. Your best pipe dreams.
Right, to figure out this solution. I feel like this is a tidal wave, and we can see it on the horizon, and like there's no way out of what's going to happen in the future.
So what you're trying to do is board up your house and move away from the shore.
I'm trying to do something here. To me, the only pipe dream that I think is somewhat realistic is if they don't fire everyone, they pick at like 14, 15 in the first round, and whoever that quarterback is that they pick turns into the next franchise-changing quarterback. Like, and that is quite the pipe dream. But isn't that the only out we have?
Yeah, and then supplementing your offensive line with the route that I talked about. No, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. You know, you're correct about that. Like, you don't want to put a rookie quarterback that you think is that good behind this line.
No.
So my point is you're also in the process going to have to find a couple of those guys who are going to be released by their teams because those teams can't keep them under contract because of the shrinking salary cap.
Allen Robinson is going to be playing for the Texans next year. Who the hell is this new quarterback going to throw to?
Nobody.
Nicholas and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, just want to talk about Bulls pick last night. I love it. With Patrick Williams.
Yeah,
If they would have played the NCAA tournament, I feel like he wouldn't have been there available at number four. If they would have been able to, everybody would have been able to see him on a national spotlight like that. And then the other point is, they only had one person in their player development department. And AK fixed that last week. He hired four people. That's going to make a huge difference on Markkanen, on Wendell Carter, especially on this rookie who just turned 19. And on Zach LaVine, who has a lot of room for improvement as it is.
Yeah, certainly hope so, for sure.
I just wanted to give that and hear your guys' opinion on
it. Yeah. I say it to the point where I'm sure people are tired of hearing me say it. Look, you've got to identify quality talent, but then it's the job of the coaching staff and people inside the organization to develop that talent.
What do you think a salary would be? As Adam Amin told us earlier, they have now four player development coordinators. There are people even under those people in player development, and they're not a part of the coaching staff. They're player development coordinators. What do you think the salary is for player coordinator?
Let's just throw out a number, and let's say it's $250,000 a year per guy. So let's just say it's $1 million total.
And then how much
total
money
for your player development?
We need new equipment for these guys. They need new computers. They need new video equipment or whatever you call it, analytical machines and whatever you need.
Another million dollars.
Huh?
Another million.
So now it's $2 million a year.
Total guess
to just invest in the players to get the maximum out of them. Like, think you're paying Felicio $8 million a year to rot on the bench. By the little investment of paying our estimate of $2 million to get the most out of your draft picks, out of your young players.
To me,
that should be the... Like, I don't know why it takes so long to figure that out.
Well, my point is you could double it or triple it, and it's not a number that would cripple an NBA franchise.
Yeah.
Did someone say this to you guys yesterday? Was it Jeff Goodman or maybe someone else here on the station? I heard so many draft experts talk yesterday,
right.
But... Like
including C. Red Fred?
If Patrick Williams turns out, that's going to be like what, a $250, $300 million investment in the long run? Right?
Yes.
Like if he becomes a star,
yes.
You're giving him
two
max contracts, and at that point you're in for $300 million.
Yeah, I mean, this you drafted four, you're hoping to get a franchise changing player.
But previously you were unwilling to have the people on the staff to make what?
Right.
Well, I don't know what they make. I was just guessing.
It's such a small investment, Chris, you know, to make huge dollars. To help the, it's exactly, and like, I know Tom Ricketts, a lot of people don't like him. But it's why I always look at what he invested in with Theo, with the ballpark, with the Dominican facility, with the spring training facility. They invested in the best of the best.
That Dominican facility had to cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, because it was same a with great the, investment.
The spring, yeah, same with the spring training upgrades and facilities.
332-3776. Who is Patrick Williams? And why are we excited about him? We will tell you why and why my friends are not excited about him. We will read
Jordy,
you those.
Jordy, what's wrong with you?
We will read you those text messages coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I think there's some real excitement amongst Bulls fans, even though some of my smart friends who own their own companies, who are partners in law firms. I mean, these are smart guys who I know who
were
texting me.
When they make rash evaluations and proclamations in their own line of work.
No, no. Like, Jordy is a marketing. He owns his own marketing shop. He owns it. Please tell me you hate this pick as much as I do. And then I responded, I wrote, here's what I wrote back, Waddle. I go, you're like the fifth friend to hate the pick. We were all over him today. I like what I read. One of the late risers in the drafts. And then Jordy wrote, yeah, I've heard that before. Never started a college game for an average team. High motor who can't score. So that was Jordy, who owns his own marketing company. Okay?
I got a text from one person, and I just sent back, I have no idea who he is.
My Cubs fan friend Chad said, I'm not going to say that I'm all over NBA prospects, but a dude that offers to hook up his future teammates with flowers and has never started a college game seems like a stretch at number four.
Yeah, that's a weird response.
Oh, so that was a sweet story.
It was. Did you guys? I loved it.
Such a great story.
That was great.
His mom owns a flower shop.
Yeah, he seems like
North
such
Carolina.
A nice kid.
I love
he
it.
He delivers, and he said he told his future teammates that I'm your florist hookup.
Yeah.
And you know what I sent back to him? Because he's a Theo lover and a Cubs lover, and I am too, but he especially, he's always glass half full when it comes to the Cubs. And I just texted back, Albert Elmora was Theo's first pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, just relax over there, all right?
With yeah, these, come on, Jordy.
These big, that was Chad.
Oh, sorry, Chad.
This is Michael. Michael's a partner in a law firm, okay? He's always a big pessimist in every sport.
Well, that's great. Like, do I hire him and then he's not optimistic? He's going to get me out of whatever I got myself in?
With sports. Oh, okay. The Bulls just picked a backup with the fourth pick. This is real? Question mark. That was my lawyer friend. And
is
then
he
Brian,
a defense attorney or is he a prosecutor?
I believe it's divorce law.
Okay.
Making relationships better. And then this is my
flower guy.
This is my my one line texter friend Brian, who he's in like the
we have to talk to him.
He's in the electric car industry. So like he's a smart guy too. He's always going to what do they call that? That San Jose, San Francisco area. What
do they call it? Bay Area?
Yeah, the Bay Area, but they call it
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley, yes. He's, you know, his company's based in Silicon Valley, one of these bright guys. And all he texted to me was, why? Over Abby or the Israeli kid? I'm confused. Please, God. I channel Marvin Williams. Didn't start and he sucked. So, these are all my friends.
How does he know that he sucked?
These are all my smart friends, and I'm talking them off the ledge. Yeah. James in Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
Hey, fellas, how we doing? Sylvie, glad you're doing well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, you know, there were kind of rumors this week that the Bulls were going to trade up to get that second pick. Do you guys think Klay Thompson's injury had an effect on that?
I don't think so, because they ended up drafting a center, right? I mean,
do you really think like this was AK's plan all along to take Patrick Williams, or do you think he kind of wanted to make a bigger play to get a second pick like LaMelo or James Wiseman.
At the press conference yesterday, take it for what it's worth. I'm not saying guys don't lie at the press conference, but Karnishevis said that he never made a phone call to trade up.
Said he knew who they were going to pick in June.
They were never going to explore trading up. That's what he said.
Didn't he say that, Chris, that we were settled on who we were going to select in June?
Yeah, I think they may have perhaps liked a few of those players who went in the top three, but I don't think they were considering actually moving up to get them. I think they were hoping that maybe they would have to have the decision of picking one over the other with Williams, but I don't think they were trying to move up.
Let's go to Kevin in Naperville. Kevin, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I think I have a solution to the Bears' head coaching problem, their general manager problem, and maybe even their quarterback problem. And I'll give you a hint. He wears khakis.
Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh. Yes. Why not? He has done nothing but taken bad situations and made them better wherever he's gone.
Except
I get
Michigan.
The negatives. Yeah, okay, fine. I get the negatives. I get the short shelf life. I get that he wasn't able to win the big game at Michigan. He won plenty of big games when he was at Stanford. He won plenty of big games when he was with the 49ers. And he won plenty of big games when he was at the University of San Diego. Look, people
look,
are
Kevin,
focusing too much
Kevin,
on the negative
Kevin, you,
with him.
If you look at
look
his
at the total body of work.
If you look at his NFL resume, it's very impressive. 4 years in San Francisco, three of the 4 years he went to the NFC title game, he went to the Super Bowl in 1 year. He had Greg Roman as his OC. He had Vic Fangio as his DC. So he surrounded himself with good people. The resistance with Jim is going to be, and I think he's got an excellent relationship with the McCaskey family. The resistance is going to be is we have a team that is mired in offensive futility and has been for a long time. And the mark against Jim at the moment is he can't find a quarterback and develop that quarterback and get that Michigan offense to do what they need to do. So that's a tough hire when the one thing that ails you more than anything is seems to be the Achilles heel or the most recent Achilles heel of the person that you're mentioning.
I hear you, but if I were Jim Harbaugh, I'd respond and say, I'd say, look, Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, resurrected Alex Smith, still have a guy that he played at the mid-major level, Josh Johnson, who was relevant for a long time. That's all I would say with him. I think this narrative of he wasn't able to win the big game at Michigan is kind of, you know, I get that that's bad, but his total body of work, it's more good than it is bad, in my opinion.
The only, like, again, back to the quarterback situation, though, Kevin, he has the pick of the litter at quarterback. Michigan football is huge. People want to play for Michigan. They have a long line of great quarterbacks who play in the NFL. He can get any of them. He controls that. He doesn't have to wait in a line because a league says, well, you have to be 20th before you get to pick who you're picking at quarterback. He can go and get the star guy year in and year out, and he still never solved it. So if he can't solve it when he's got the pick of the litter, how's he going to solve it when he's got to wait in a draft line?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I mean, I don't think that every quarterback that he's had at Michigan while they were in college has been terrible. Obviously, they nothing really, you know, in the NFL. But I mean, again, I mean, Alex Smith was borderline out of the league. Everybody thought he was a bust, and he resurrected Smith. Kaepernick wasn't the same player once Harbaugh left the 49ers afterwards.
Listen, Kevin, the statements you were making are totally accurate. They are accurate. I mean, he was.
Look, I'm not saying he's a slam dunk hire if he's there, but I'm saying you would have to consider him to be a head coach. I don't know who else would be available. I don't know if he will be available because I don't see him going out like this in Michigan. I could see him signing another short-term contract at Michigan because I know him. I'm sure he doesn't want to go out like this way. But I just think there's this too much of this narrative of he can't win the big game or do this or that when I think his winning percentage overall as a head coach is like 7.3, like, you know, 0.73. Or it's really good. So that's just my opinion. I don't know. I mean,
thanks, Kevin.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm admittedly biased. He was my quarterback. As I said to Greeny the other day, we weren't Montana to Rice. I get it, but I loved playing with him. He had, you know, a thirst for the game. He loves the game. His NFL career as a coach, his resume as an NFL coach is very, very impressive. And Kevin hit on some of those things. It is going to be, there are some tough questions that need to be asked if, in fact, that is a legitimate candidate, if in fact there's an opening, is why haven't you been able to solve the offensive problem?
Here's why I won't say no to it totally. Because if the, let's say the Bears do have an opening and they have openings all over, what if Jim Harbaugh says, "Look, I could be your coach, and I'm bringing you this guy as my front office guy." You know, a lot of times the coach brings the front office guy, and what if that front office guy is a really good front office guy who is well known around the NFL, someone that he previously worked for, an upcoming guy, someone like that, and if he could be a part of the solution of. I'm not giving him the autonomy,
no,
but if he can get lead me to the right people to reorganize my front office as well, I'd be open to it. What about you?
Like I said, I mean, if there is NFL pedigree on his coaching resume. There are some tough. I don't know enough about why he has struggled at Michigan other than the surface that he hasn't been able to find the quarterback, and they haven't developed an offense. And that is a problem for a franchise in the NFL that can't score.
I just don't see it. Abdallah and I get a chance to host the Chicago's College Tailgate here on the station. For the last 2 years, we've been running tape of Jim pre-game, before, after game.
He's crazy, isn't
and,
he?
Well, Sylvie, I don't know if it's crazy. I just think there's something amiss. It's not as sharp as it used to be, and there's something that just he's just saying phrases that roll into the next that really don't have any meaning, but now he's trailing off onto the like he there is something it is I
See,
don't
I have
I
not,
would not
I, yeah I've not listen, seen a I'm Michigan saying, press conference
listen, I don't know him and we're just listening to his press conferences. It just does not seem right.
Okay
it does not seem right. I wouldn't want him as my Bears coach.
Okay. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We're trying to fix the Bears, and we're padding for now. We're padding the Bulls on the back and we're going with a ride. We're going to take a ride with them. Now, if I'm in the ditch,
get in the car.
A few miles down the road, I have the right to get out of the damn car.
Get in the car.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Always give that time to breathe right there.
I know. I did not know until the unfortunate passing of Eddie Van Halen that you were a huge Van Halen fan.
Yeah, big. I've been playing it lately, too, their greatest hits and such like that. And I am not like the pick your lane Van Halen fan. I'm not like definitive on who I liked better.
Right.
I liked it all.
Right.
Liked it all. 312-332-3776. A lot of good Bear stuff. Good game tonight. I told you earlier that I'm going to be
Are you going to be imbibing?
Yes, I'm going to be envious and I'm going to be imbibing.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I'm going to be having a few cocktails tonight. Thursday and Saturday. I'm back to drinking now. Thursdays and Saturdays. I'll have three glasses tonight.
Whoa.
And then I stop there.
Do you have the glass already marked where you can fill it up to as well?
No, I just leave a glass left in the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, I know how much a glass is in a wine bottle towards the bottom. He told me 2 to 3, so I figure that's 3. And okay. That's what I did.
You sound like my wife when I walk into the house and I say, "Oh, that's a nice chair. How much was it?" She goes, "It was $200. You go over and look at the price tag. It's $299. Like she rounds down to like it could be $299.99, but she'll tell me it's $200.
Well, that
same
would be
way
like,
you're telling your doctor, you know,
well,
that
he
two,
said
three,
two
three.
To three. That would be more like I think the better comp would be, hey, go buy a chair, spend between $200 to $300, and she's spending $299.99.
That's true. I mean, I guess the point would be your doctor is probably would lean closer to two as
well,
would I instead of $299.
He should have explained that.
You know what?
He said
right.
2 to 3.
You're
I
right.
only heard 3.
You go get it, big boy.
Darren in Oswego, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
We're good. Having a good time.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, hey, I love your guys' show. I'm not even a Chicago sports fan. I listen to you every day when I go home. Thank you.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Dan.
That. Thank you.
So which one of you guys said that the Cardinals weren't for real? Who was that?
Well, I love the Cardinals because Kyler Murray I absolutely love. But I don't believe they're as good. I think they've gotten a few breaks here with at least two of their wins. Think about it. I mean, you give me your point, and then I'll counterpoint it.
I agree with you. I think they've gotten lucky. But having been a Cardinal fan since the day they moved to Phoenix, I've endured lots of bad seasons, just like you guys have here in Chicago. But all I ever heard is good teams find a way to win. And the Cardinals, for the most part, had a real difficult time hanging with teams that were significantly better than them, and they don't seem to have that problem anymore. And they have a quarterback that I think is the real deal. I think he's going to be good for years to come. I think our franchise is getting stronger as we go. I think I can't think of his name, Bidwell, the Bidwell son. I think he's done a good job with the organization since he's taken over. But they find ways to win, and that's what good teams do. And they're sitting atop one of the best divisions in football with an opportunity to put two games between them and Seattle tonight because they hold the tiebreaker. And if that doesn't shout real deal 9 games into the season, I don't know what does.
Isn't it amazing as well? Look, the Bills game, it was fortunate. I mean, they weren't – it's not like they miraculously came back and won that. The Hail Mary was miraculous, but they were in that game the entire game. The Seattle game – you know, I think they scored a couple of, I think they scored 10 points in the last 3 minutes of the game.
They got bailed out by that penalty for the guy jumping on the back of the.
The point I was going to make to you, though, is it amazing? Remember, there was a while, not going back to Kurt Warner, there was a stretch where the Cardinals were laughed at, right? It's amazing what a quarterback, and then they made the deal for DeAndre Hopkins. Last year, I think the Cardinals were 6-10, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, look at the ebbs and flows that they've had through the years.
That's my point is
the Carson Palmer years. I mean, they were down at two.
Don't you feel so much better about that team because of the quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
And you make a good move here or a good move there, and now all of a sudden you've got good feelings, you know, you're vibing for your team.
I'm not grading on the curve, though, now of I already know they've arrived. Kyler Murray will have them good now for years. Kyler Murray is the real deal. They got Hopkins, and they won that trade. So I'm just saying that in the context of 6-3, that, all right, they opened the year at San Francisco, they won, okay? Since then, they beat the Reds, they beat Washington, stink. They won at the Jets. Stink. Mm-hmm. They won at Dallas. Stink.
Yep.
They got the break against Seattle with the penalty in the last minute. And the Bills, they won miraculously. They've lost in there to Miami. Miami's pretty good. I'm not telling you they suck because they are good because of the quarterback. I'm saying they're not as good
as
the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And I still don't look at them as a team that's going to go far in this year's postseason.
I think that's fair. I mean, they're in the bottom half of defensive teams in the league, but they are the number one team in the league in terms of yards per game. So.
Oh, he's so much fun. He is so from going from questioning how tall he is and if he's going to play baseball to now just he runs all over the place. He throws really well. He's not just a runner. He's really, really good. David on 290, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. First off, Sylvie, glad to hear you're doing well. That's better than and more important than any of this.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I want to throw some Bulls love. Not only am I okay with their fourth pick, even though I didn't know who he is, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm okay with their second round pick, who is from the same team he scouted when he drafted Jokic, who is also a second-round pick. Now, I'm excited to see what he does there because he knows that league and he knows that team, which most people don't. So I've been around long enough to bribe the Andy Frayn guys to go watch Michael Jordan play at the old stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the most excited I've been.
Can you tell Waddle that story?
In a long time.
Tell Waddle the story about how you were able to, even though the game, I think this is where you're going, even though the game was sold out, you'd still be able to get into the old Chicago Stadium, right?
Oh, absolutely. They had the side door where the two Andy Frayn security guys sit. That wasn't a player's entrance. And if you walked up and offered them cash, they would open the door and you'd walk in.
Nice.
You're a standing room, but you're in the stadium watching a Jordan playoff game standing.
One of my buddies was an Andy Frayn usher, and he has told me those stories.
Used to pocket a lot of cash.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, you know, they used to have every sellout of the Chicago Stadium would be 18,676. So, like, one game, it would look like there were 22,000 people in there. And then another game, you know, you could see there's 18,676. And we would always say, why does this look like it's so much more sold out and louder and everything? It's because those Andy Frayn ushers took bribes on the side door. Nice. And they would let
Welcome to Chicago.
Up top, it was sometimes too deep standing by the rail.
It was incredible. Yeah, that place was amazing. Great call. Thank you.
Couldn't you see the games at home? Then I televised.
That place, though, was so
electric. No, I know. Listen, I think it's – I've said in the past, like, I've been to a lot of places. The old Chicago Stadium, to me, was the coolest place I've ever been for a game, an indoor arena.
No frills. Yeah. You know, no suites, none of that.
It was great.
And I believe Marko Simeonovic is how you say the second-round pick's name.
God bless
you. He's almost 7 feet. He's very skinny. Still raw, but he shoots it very well. Shooting 40% from three on a big sample size. So that's what they like about him.
Did you guys laugh?
Keep him there.
Did you guys laugh last night when they go to Mike Schmitz? They're like, all right, he was just selected by the Chicago Bulls. Schmitz, give us your thought. He's like, oh, he's a stash.
Yeah.
There was like no player bio. It's like, nice player. They're not going
to
use him.
I got to be honest with you. As soon as they picked Patrick Williams, I was on to season two of Dexter.
Pretty good, right?
It is. I love it. Yeah. But like me, I was not sticking around.
Good, right?
Yeah, I love it. That's why I bailed on the draft as soon as the Bulls picked at four.
You gave me a lukewarm review earlier of Dexter, so now you're fully committed.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not Yellowstone good, but it's worth my time.
He's crazy, isn't he? I mean, it's I love the whole theory behind the show.
Yellowstone?
No. Dexter. Dexter, yeah.
Yeah,
Dexter.
Yeah, serial killers killing serial killers.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. Yes. Yeah.
He's killing for good.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. Like, I'm not going to bail on it. I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know our buddy Dre in Denver wants to talk. You'll start next, Dre. He's the guy who the other day was talking about whips and chains being a Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of fun callers, we got one of our weirdest takes we've ever gotten from a caller on today's show. Wait till you hear why this caller pronounced who the Bulls picked, Patrick Williams, as a bust. We'll play that for you next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boom, boom, boom. All right, we've had many reasons why some of our fans don't like players or don't like coaches. Some we can identify.
Tell me why this guy won't work out.
Yes. I don't know if we've ever had a name game.
Nope.
Caller, like, and I still think he was putting us on.
I don't think so.
Do you think he was playing us?
I don't. He didn't sound like it.
Abdallah? I don't think he was. No,
no.
I think he was serious.
You think he was serious? What was this guy's name again? I want to play this call. I forget his name,
but you say here. You say at the start of this guy.
Here's the whole call. Yeah. Henry and Dalton, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Henry?
Hey, fellas. I was just thinking about this last night when I heard the name Patrick Williams come off the board for the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls have drafted only two other guys with the last name Williams, Scott Williams and Jay Williams. Scott Williams was nothing more than a journeyman who happened to be on the same team with Jordan and won NBA titles with Jordan. Jay Williams never developed due to the motorcycle accident. The Bulls have a poor record of developing anybody with the last name Williams. That's all I got.
You're joking, right, Henry?
Rude,
no, this is it.
Henry, shut it down.
Henry,
that's the show.
Stop the show. Come on, Henry's pulling our.
See, I think he was. I don't think he was.
I don't think he was.
You don't think he was pulling our.
I don't think he was pulling our.
He thought. He said, "Look, I'm going to call Waddle and Sylvie. They're my buddies, and I got to share this with them because I really think it's going to be a bust. Not because he's raw. Not because he only started a game or two and was a bench guy in his rookie year. And not because Duke didn't want to sign him, but because his last name is Williams and they had Scott Williams and they had Jay Williams."
I'm currently going through the Bulls' history of their draft picks.
Yeah.
I haven't found a Williams yet. I got to year 1978, and I'm not going to lie, it's the year that Reggie Theus was drafted.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to stop because in the eighth round, they drafted guard Chubby Cox out of San Francisco. Shooting guard, 6'2", 180 pounds.
Chubby Cox.
His real name is John Arthur Cox III. But his name was Chubby Cox. They drafted him in the eighth round back in the day when there were eight rounds.
I love how you would stop. Only you would stop there.
It caught my eye. Joe Ponsetto was the... was drafted from DePaul in 1978, the round after a Chubby Cox.
Well, do you know what they used to do? There used to be 12. I think there were 12 NBA rounds, 10 or 12.
Okay.
And literally they would, I think the Bulls drafted.
My computer just broke.
What's that?
I think I just broke my computer. Go ahead.
I believe the Bulls drafted Carl Lewis 1 year.
I believe that is correct.
Like they would draft, like 1 year the 76ers owner drafted his dentist. Just as a favor,
so his dentist could say
that he was drafted in the NBA.
Oh, like, I got another Williams, but he may have been traded in '98. Shamond Williams.
Oh yeah,
So I don't know if our caller was 100% accurate.
We're 0-3 with Williams, huh?
Yeah. So I'm going through the list.
As a tweeter pointed out. Like, they would have then passed on Steph Curry because of Eddie Curry.
Yes.
I mean, come on now.
They did draft James on Curry from Oklahoma State in 2007.
See? That's what I mean. You're going to pass on Steph because you had James on and you had Eddie.
It's a good point.
That's how silly that is.
Yeah.
Dre in Denver, you're on ESPN 1000. How are your whips and chains doing?
Oh, boy.
You know, and to answer your question about your caller, you know, I've been with you guys since, I want to definitely say 2012, maybe earlier. And, you know, when I called the other day and talked about 50 Shades of Grey, you know, that's what we do at home. And Waddle and Sylvie, you give us a place to go there and to get it out. And if we don't get this stuff out, we go crazy.
Dre, where else do you think you're going to hear me talk about Chubby Cox being drafted
by the Bulls
in 78? Yes.
Since I left that other station, man, I enjoy, because you talk me off the ledge.
Yes.
You guys let me vent. Mm-hmm. You guys let me even bring out the silly thoughts. Because when I heard that caller earlier, I damn near fell out the chair laughing so hard.
Now, there was a time, though. Now, Dre, is truth be told, there was a time once when we went to you and you were sleeping and snoring on the air.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's famous.
It was a rough night that night. We can talk about that later.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
But Sylvie, I was like your friends who were texting you. I was like, oh, this is definitely another Chicago move. I don't know about this new guy. But you know what? You know what? I'm going to give this new guy a shot. After listening to a lot of people listening to this show, I'm going to give him a shot.
Yes.
I think the kid is definitely a quality kid, so he's not going to be an embarrassment or anything. You know, I'm more for that than anything now, a quality character kid. But he does look like he has some athletic ability and talent. My uncle also stated that he had a growth spurt, so he does have some handles and things like that. So I want to, you know, wait because I was like, this is Trubisky all over again. You know, I bet you Pat Mahomes is going to be OBN. Well, you know, I was just going crazy. But, you know, I listened to Waddle Sylvie and, you know, I get to get it out. And then I heard that call with that guy. I thought the Williams man.
I found another cool. Williams, Corey Williams, in 1992 sure. out of Oklahoma State. Yes.
He just knew of those two. He didn't fact check that.
Yeah,
stuff.
No,
he didn't.
Reaching. He did.
So far, they're 0-4 with Williams.
Yeah,
we're due
true.
For a Williams. So thanks, Dre. We appreciate it.
Be safe.
There you go. All right, boys, what do you guys have coming up? More draft talk, I assume, right?
Yeah, we're going to cover the draft. We're going to cover some of the NFL. We've got the Fat Jack on tonight to get you set for the football weekend. And just so you guys know, Chris looked at me before he walked into the studio just now and said, what are you starting with? And I said, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So tune in because we'll figure it out, man.
Do you guys want to bet? Do you guys want to have a pizza bet over the Seahawks-Cardinals?
Let's have a little pizza bet. Like, Sylvie and I against you two.
Like, and I'll send a pizza to one of you two and Waddle will send a pizza to the other two.
Trust your pizza.
What do you mean? You pick, I'll pay.
If you don't trust other people to bring you pizza, why should I trust you to send me pizza?
You call whichever pizza place you want, and then you put your order in. Say my buddy's calling with his credit card.
Okay,
and let's do it.
All right,
you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm not gonna do anything to your pizza,
Chris. You're in for a pizza bet. Yeah, we're in.
All right, let's do it.
I will tell you, with us and Tyler, who's producing tonight, we are all on Team Kyler Murray. So yes, we're down.
I hope Kyler Murray is a good game. Are we playing with the points?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, points. Yeah.
We got to give him three.
We're giving him three.
All right, that works.
We'll see who wins tomorrow. So we've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. It's all brought to you by IDOT. Visit lifeordeathillinois.com as they bring you Crosstalk. Thank you to Adam Amin and JD. Great calls as usual. Let's end the week strong tomorrow. 332-3776. Thanks to Abdallah and Bleck. Thank you to my guy, Tom Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.